Hey Veeam Community Podcast listeners, it's on. VeeamON 2015 has been announced and will be returning to Las Vegas. VeeamON 2015 will be held October 26th through the 29th at the Aria Resort Hotel and Casino. Like last year, the Veeam CE course will be offered at a discount, but this year it will be held before the event. VeeamON is the event dedicated to data center availability, and this year's event will be even bigger and better than before. You don't want to miss it. Want to find out more? Check out go.veeam.com/veeamon and pre-register. That way you'll be the first to know when early bird pricing is available and stay up to date on all the latest for VeeamON 2015. Also be sure to like the VeeamON Facebook page. We'll see you in Vegas.
Hello and welcome to the Veeam Community Podcast. We are recording a live special edition from Microsoft Ignite in Chicago. My name is Rick Vanover and I'm your host, and I'm joined once again by Brian Posey. Brian, how you doing, man?
Oh, doing great. Glad to be here at Ignite. If you hear all the background noise, this place is huge. There's all kinds of people around here. Lots of excitement about all the announcements that Microsoft's been making.
Yeah, you know, it is a big endeavor here. I think, what do we have, like 20-some thousand, 23,000 people here?
Yeah, I think 23,000 was the final count.
You know, the smart thing would have been for me to actually get the meeting room, but hey, that's all right. You don't know it's live unless you hear the background noise. So we'll make it work. Luckily, I've got the good equipment as well. We've got a lot to talk about, Brian, but first, you know, it's been a while since you've been on the podcast. Give everyone a little update about, you know, you, an intro to you, and then an update of what you've been working on the last couple of years.
Oh, gosh. I'm a Microsoft MVP 13 times now. I've been working on a little bit of everything. I've been recording videos about Hyper-V and building private clouds and just got all kinds of stuff I've been working on lately.
Now, what's your... You're on Twitter. I finally got you there, Brian Posey. I'll put links to that in the podcast notes. But how about your primary blog or any of your primary sites, anything where we can find you?
I'm out there all over the place. I don't necessarily have one primary place that I go to. The main place that I blog is, I've got a blog called Brian Posey's Windows Tips and Tricks that I do for 1105, but I write content for a ton of other vendors as well. So just Google or Bing my name and you're sure to find something.
I'll put some links to those blogs and some of the recent content in the podcast notes. And speaking of 1105, you can check out the Everyday Virtualization blog by yours truly, which is always an area of improvement for me. But okay, enough of that. So, Brian, first of all, this is the first large major event I've ever been to in Chicago. You know, I've been to Las Vegas, San Francisco, Orlando. Is this your first major event in Chicago of this size?
Yeah, first one of this size. I guess the next biggest one I've been to is Storage Decisions.
Sure, sure. So this, you know, it's like one of those things. When you go to enough events, they all start to look and feel a little bit the same.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah, they do. I mean, it's like, okay, there's lunch, there's a big expo hall. You walk out with swag, you start to get picky on swag, there's a backpack, you know how it goes, friends. On the venue, I think the McCormick Center, outstanding. I really like it for large events. First of all, it is not crowded, okay? It's very flowing, very good use of the space, and hopefully you got some good shoes, though. The busing, I don't know, have you used the buses?
Yeah, I have.
I think those are okay. Because really, it would not work if you didn't have that here. And there was only one time that the bus really wasn't going to work for me, and I had to take a cab. But so far, so good. I've been happy with the base logistics of the event.
Yeah, and they brought in some really nice buses for this thing. The ones that they've been using for us have the old-school Mercedes-Benz leather seats and granite tables and everything like that in the bus.
What? Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm dead serious.
Well, I'm on Shuttle Route 4. I don't know what route you're
on. I'm on 12.
12 is where it's at, friends, so definitely keep that in mind.
But, you know, you mentioned this not being overly crowded. That's quite the accomplishment with a crowd this size. The last couple of years, I was actually a little concerned about TechEd because it seemed like the exhibit hall was getting smaller and smaller.
Sure.
Attendance was down. The exhibit hall here has got to be two or three times the size of TechEd.
It's got to be the largest single exhibit hall I've ever seen. And the McCormick Center, I've always known. In fact, I complain about the other big set of events I go to. I'm like, they never leave the West Coast. And it's like really irritating because I want to mix it up. And Microsoft have always been good about traveling their big events. And I'm thinking that I've been to Moscone Center in San Francisco just 2 weeks ago with RSA. conference, and they had used both sides of Moscone for Expo Zone. So Veeam is lucky, though. We are right in the front row. You can't miss us. I think we
lucked out. That bright green just sticks out. You walk in, bam, there's Veeam.
Yeah, good stuff. All right, so hey, man, let's break down some of the things that we want to talk about this event. So there are a couple of press releases and news, new products, announcements, all kinds of stuff. I'm just going to jump through some of them. Now, in the podcast notes, I'll put the link to this thing I'm reading here. But let's just jump through, before we get started with that list, anything stick out to you, Brian, of an announcement or anything new that was most interesting to you?
I think the most interesting thing was just the sheer volume of announcements. For those of you who might not be here or didn't tune in, the opening keynote was 3 hours long, and it was mostly announcements. Afterwards, Twitter was just exploding. Everybody was saying things like Microsoft's relevant again. There's excitement for the first time in years.
A lot of people latched on, and the good thing is, to a lot of different things. So they've broken it down into categories in terms of personal computing. Windows Update for Business and System Center Config Manager, big key announcements there. Then on the productivity side, we got five things that really align there. Office 2016, Skype for Business Broadcasting. Maybe you'll see this podcast go there sometime. Organizational Analytics in Office Delve, and new SharePoint and Exchange engines as well for 2016. Now, a lot with cloud, next generation hybrid cloud with Azure, the Azure stack. And by the way, we're recording on Wednesday. There might still be more tomorrow and later today. We don't know.
And I really do expect that, honestly.
Yeah. Now, the one that I kind of latched on to, and also new SQL Server 2016, and Office 365 transparency and control enhancements. The one that I kind of like, I'm going to take away and I want to check out is the Advanced Threat Analytics. Now that's, they acquired a company, help me say this right, Arado, I think I'm pronouncing that right. But basically, Advanced Threat Analysis, quote, helps IT security professionals identify security breaches and threats using behavioral analysis and machine learning to provide clear and actionable information, unquote. Now, that's a big deal. It sounds really, really smart.
Well, on the surface, just to read what you just read, it sounds like the marketing spiel of every other security company out there. It doesn't really sound anything that unique, but that demo the other day was really impressive.
Oh, so you saw it?
Yeah.
What was it? I was unable to make the keynote. How did that go?
Well, they didn't spend a tremendous amount of time on it, but they started doing things that you would expect, like log file aggregation and looking for key things, but they were also looking for things like impossible travel, like somebody who logged in California one moment and then Singapore 5 minutes later.
They're doing the Foursquare rule. They won't give you any points if you check in too far away like that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting.
And then they were also looking at, when somebody does do something like that, checking out that account and what else have they tried to log into? What resources have they tried to access that they're not normally supposed to? And they were able to show some really useful behavior patterns.
Interesting. And the funny thing is when you have a line of devices and services, like everything from the Surface we'll talk about to the operating system Windows to, key data center applications, key cloud platforms, when you have all those things, you really have this great kind of holistic view and data analysis and forensics and behavior and stuff. That's really kind of this next frontier that I'm actually kind of interested in. I find that very fascinating at this point. That's something I'm going to check out. Now, another piece of news that really kind of made me turn my head a little bit was, what they're doing with Azure. And I think that a cloud platform in general is, especially in Microsoft's examples, they're one of their most strategic things that they're working on. I mean, I look here, no matter where I'm standing, I can see the Azure booth over there, and I know that there's another one over there. It's like you cannot miss the Azure message. Now, what they have in the news is next generation hybrid cloud. So the Microsoft Azure stack will bring this user experience to a platform as a service capability. A lot of capabilities. Windows Server 2016 is available. The next preview, it's actually got a name. It's not called technical preview now.
Yeah, or what was the other one? V.next?
Yeah, V.next. And I'm like, I get what you're saying, but let's give it a name. And if I remember right, I think it was kind of aiming for this year, but it ended up being next year. But Windows Server 2016 is a preview available now. Now, I had played with the technical preview before. Have you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I know a lot of people were running In fact, in Azure, you could deploy it, if I remember, right? It was available as an image there. I'm going to give that a look. You know, they're really good about making those next operating systems available for you to play with. And, you know, for the listeners here, there's no better way to be ready for tomorrow than to know what it has today. So I really encourage you to give those new operating systems, new platforms a look. And of course, as we saw in the technical preview, the Hyper-V role you could add. Windows Server 2016 will have that as well. And there's one little thing that's actually a big deal with Windows Server 2016.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say.
That's right, Nano Server. So Brian, you sound like you know what I'm talking about. Why don't you explain it? You might do a better job than I.
Okay, well, in Windows Server 2012, 2012 R2, we've got those deployment roles. You can deploy it as a full server with a GUI. We've got Server Core. Nano Server is kind of the next incarnation of that. It's a lot smaller than a Server Core deployment. And the interesting thing about that is that Microsoft has said that they envision running single processes or single applications on Nano Server, with the idea being that if a process is modified, that modification doesn't bleed over and cause problems with other things that might be running on the server. But I also found it interesting that Microsoft seems to be looking, on one hand, at things that are really, really tiny, things like Nano Server, but also looking at the big picture with things like Azure Stack and utilities for managing multiple public clouds and on-premise all at the same time. So they've made announcements ranging from the really, really big to the really, really small.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely something for everyone here.
Oh, yeah.
And when I talk to people, I'm definitely seeing that. Now, speaking of really, really small, and I'm going to do a cheap plug for something that's really cool, and if you're using Azure, you might want to check this out. Yesterday, so again, we're recording on Wednesday. Yesterday, we announced a new free tool for those of you who might be using Azure. It's called Veeam Fast SCP for Microsoft Azure. Simply put, what does it do? It moves files to and from your Azure VMs. Because if you're doing something important in Azure, there's actually an interesting conundrum of how do you move data to and from, especially if it's important. Well, Veeam Fast SCP for Azure can help you with that. Totally free. It's available as a beta today at veeam.com. And basically, it'll wrap a PowerShell session to and from your Azure VM and move files back and forth. Very, very easy, very, very cool way to move data back and forth. So check that out. Now, Brian, as our last agenda point, in fact, I'm actually using one right now. We're going to talk about the Microsoft Surface.
You know, before we get into that, there's one other thing that quickly comes mind. Is I think the first podcast that I ever did with you was back in 2011, before the Windows Server 2012 release.
That's right. And we were in Redmond. That's right.
Yeah, they had a preview for media, and it was 3 days of just one announcement and one feature introduction after another, and you know, some really long days. And we left there each day just exhausted, heads hurting, that sort of thing. It was so much to take in.
Right.
And this almost feels like a repeat of that. There's been so much information coming out of this conference, and so many new things that are being introduced.
Yeah, and it's weird because it's all areas of IT. I mean, it's cloud, it's Windows, it's databases, it's Exchange, it's applications, it's now devices, it's services, it's
yeah, it's not any one thing. And even like with Azure, the last few years it feels like Microsoft's done just a full court press on trying to move everybody to Azure, and then all of a sudden we've got Azure Stack where you can run Azure in your own data center. This is different than Azure Pack, by the way.
It isn't as good as
so it almost seems like Microsoft's kind of backed off the, you know, you've got to move everything to the public cloud right now mentality, and kind of acknowledge that the data center is here to stay for a while.
You know, you're right. The Microsoft Azure Stack is probably one of the bigger things that matter, because literally you have that full cloud model, including the consoles and deployment and everything.
The load balancers, the whole works. This is different than Azure Pack.
Right, right. So something for me to look at. And the good news is, folks, is that, you know, you can really then answer that question in your business of you want that agility, but you really want that control as well. And that's one way to really get it done. Good stuff.
Can't wait to play with that.
Yeah. I need some more hardware. Maybe we can walk through the expo here and see if anybody's giving away like a FlexPod or something. I'm gonna need some kit, that's for sure. Anyways, Microsoft Surface, the whole line of Surface devices. Now, they have a really interesting following with IT pros. We've got you know, a lot of people like iPads and all, but for me, man, I don't even know where my iPad is. I am all Surface. And the best part is,
and I'm proud to say I don't own an iPad.
Yeah. I like the iPad, and I like some of the apps that are there, but I love my Surface, and I use an RT1, Brian. No joke. In fact, we're recording on this very podcast. I've got my studio quality microphone hooked up to it with the Lucky Recorder app. Best 99 cents I ever spent. But the Surface devices have moved very quickly. I think this one's not even 2 years old, and it was new at the time. Right, it was like a new release at the time. So we've gone from Surface like 1, I guess, then to 2, and now on 3. And, you know, they're selling them over there in the store right now. But the one that I want next is the Surface 3. Not the Pro, just the regular 3. And let me explain for those who are listening what's the difference between Pro than historically the RT. The RT was a RISC processor. Was it not a RISC, but it was an ARM processor. Sorry, lost it for a moment there. An ARM processor. And basically, it's not full Windows. You cannot run all the same apps, but I do have Windows RT 8.1, and it works great for me. Everything I do is in a data center or a cloud, and when I need it, it is a real computer with Office and remote desktop VPN, all that good stuff.
And I use my Surface RT all the time too. I travel a lot doing speeches, and I use it to watch movies on the plane. It's got PowerPoint built in, so I use it to review my presentations before I get where I'm going.
Yep.
It gets the job done.
Full HDMI out as well. Yep, it's good stuff. Now, occasionally, I wish I had full Windows for some additional app support, and that's where, like, my next kind of tablet purchase, I'm looking very carefully at that Surface 3. I think is it $399 or $499?
I believe it's $499.
$499. Full Windows. I got some specs up here. I'm going to read these out. 10.8-inch screened size, which I think is a little bit smaller than the Pro. Just a little bit. My guy, Mike Ressler, said the Surface 3 is a little bit smaller. And the keyboard as well, everything kind of comes a little bit smaller compared to the Surface Pro.
Still, when you travel the way we do, size is everything.
That's right, that's right. 1.6 gigahertz processor, quad-core, 1920 by 1280 display. And I've actually been very
full healthy.
HD. Yeah, full HD. Clear type full HD plus display technology. Intel Gen 8 processor. Internal storage up to 128 gig and RAM up to 4 gig. Micro SD expansion port, which is nice. What am I looking for? The one that matters, right, is that USB port. Okay, a full USB port, which is why I can use this microphone. That makes a big difference.
That makes a huge difference.
You know, Bluetooth is nice, but USB is better. You can have USB hubs, and then they have a really nice, I don't want to call it a docking station, but a dock, you know?
Yeah.
You can put Ethernet cables in for fixed positioning. They have them here all over the floor. You can use Skype with the live chat headset, which I really like those, by the way.
The one thing I wish they would do is include the type keyboard with them.
That's a pretty expensive option.
Yeah.
It's $100 or so, or $89 or something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
But it makes such a big difference over the normal Surface keyboard.
Yeah, this old one I'm using here is, I think, what they call a touch keyboard.
Yeah.
That one is referred to as a type keyboard. I walked up to, that one was a Pro 3 that they have as a Skype station throughout the event here. And I liked it, but you're right. Then it becomes a little bit more of a purchase. So maybe my wife's listening. That'll be a good Father's Day or, you know, anniversary or Christmas present or something like that.
Now, I've got the type keyboard on my Surface, and it works really well as long as you're on a solid surface. An airplane tray table doesn't cut it, because then you've got some flex, and it starts leaving out characters when you type.
Yep, and that's the case with this one as well. You're right. If it has to be a good, solid surface. And I do like the portability of it. The on-screen keyboard, great to just interact, but if you really need to, like, crank out some content or write something, not really the best, you know.
No, but it does work. I once wrote about 20 pages using the on-screen keyboard. My hands were cramped up like crazy after it was done, but it can be done.
Yeah, and then, you know, of course, there's, you know, voice recognition software you could look into also as an option as well. So, 10-hour battery life. Now, the big one here, the Surface 3, comes with 8.1, but it's 10 ready. Okay, so when Windows 10 out.
Yeah, free upgrades to 10 once it becomes available.
Yep, and the LTE version is due out later, but basically it'll have built-in, you know, over-the-air cellular network capabilities, which will be really nice for IT pros on the go. And, you know, I don't know how you roll, Brian. I like to tether with my Android phone, and that works. But honestly, if I had, you know, data plan and all the devices just share the plan, that might even be better, you know. So, Bluetooth, of course, Wi-Fi, A, B, G, N, A, C. I don't even know what the AC is anymore, but 622 grams total weight with magnesium alloy casing. I'm really excited for it. And plus, the colors are really cool. I love that, like, green color. They've just got really good colors. Anyways.
Green. Would that be like a Veeam green?
Well, it's not quite Veeam green at 184, 185, 72, which is a color I've committed to memory. But nonetheless, I'll take anything green when I can. So anyways, Brian, hey, again, thanks for coming by here. It's been a great event. Hopefully you've enjoyed it. And those of you who are here, hopefully, you know, for what you do in your daily practice, you've made things better. Any closing comments, Brian?
Oh, just that I think Ignite is going to be a great event. I think next year will be even better because this is the first year. They're still kind of shaking out a couple of kinks. But I think it's got a bright future ahead of it.